If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Gave me this exercise the other day, and that exercise was, he said, now you see yourself in a ditch. And so I'm sitting there, and he's talking to me, and he says, I need you to see yourself in a ditch. Now see yourself out of the ditch. And I thought to myself, how do I get out of the ditch? And God very carefully, very cleverly, didn't tell me how to get out of the ditch. He said, see yourself out of it. And I started thinking, you're trying to teach me. He said, because if you see yourself out of it, you'll find a way out of it. And what was interesting was when I saw myself out of the ditch, I asked someone to help me out of the ditch. And that's what he's looking for. He's looking for us to stop trying to do things independent of others. The devil likes to flood us with independence. He likes to flood us with this need to be great on our own. So that's why we have all these parachurch ministries all doing the same thing. We have four or five different men's groups, four or five different women's groups, four or five different prayer groups in the home, out of the home. And there are legitimate parachurch ministries. There's nothing wrong with it. But what I'm saying is there are times that God really isn't in it. It's the person's desire for personal greatness. Why? Because the vision for the body has now been cheapened to the vision for me. What would happen to me if my heart decided it didn't want to function with any other part of my body and just jumped out my chest? What if my heart became arrogant and said, I ain't got to stay in there just beating 65 times a minute and 114 times when you're preaching. I'm sick of this. I'm out of here, dog. What would happen to me? I'd die. But also, what would happen if my heart became arrogant and said to the body, you can't make it without me. You need me to pump blood. And the little old easily ignored arteries say, excuse me, brother, if we weren't in here, you could pump all you want to, and that blood wouldn't get anywhere. So you see the dependency. Well, each of us are dependent upon each other. So that when you're down, God's vision was that the immune system, the white blood cell count that rises when there's an infection, providing the natural antibodies to fight off the infection. God's design was that some of you in the body of Christ are white blood cells. That's why you keep getting sick people in your life. You keep wondering, why all these jerks keep coming to me? God said, because you're a white blood cell. You keep getting all the sick people, all the disenfranchised people, all the people who are neurotic. You get them. You get them. They come to you because you just seem to have a way of drawing these people. You get all the germophobics. You get all these people that don't want to touch you because you bring balance to them. And you're wondering, why did God make you that way? But when you look back in your life, you will see that God let you go through some hellish situations to give you some degree of hope and some degree of faith so that you can pass it on to somebody else, because you're a healer but don't know you're a healer. And you will never know you're a healer until God lets you have some sick folk around you. So stop being angry with God because you get all the simple-minded people. No, he does that because you're a white blood cell. Then some of you are red blood cells. You carry iron through the body. You keep the body strong. So you're one of those people that God will never let you have a moment when you pout and weep about what you're going through. You must always be standing when everybody else is falling. And you want to fall, but he don't let you fall because you're a red blood cell. So he never seems to let you have a moment where you can feel sorry for yourself. He comes in and you tell him, God, it's my party and I'll cry if I want it. He said, no, you're not. You're not crying because I need you to go over there and I need you to minister to Jane Doe because they're hurting. And what you're going through is inconsequential. And you get angry with God and say, well, Father, why is it that what I'm going through is not important? He says, I didn't say it wasn't important. I said it's inconsequential. It's important. I'll take care of you later. But right now, I need you to go over there. You'll get your time to take your Geritol. But right now, there's enough iron in you to go over and bless somebody else. Why? Because the body is the body. And the vision of the body is that it heals itself just like this body through the dermis and the epidermis. When I cut myself, it heals. And the healing starts underneath the skin. Now, the skin develops a scar. And the scar is the body's way of saying, you were wounded, but we healed it. You put a bandage over it. The bandage doesn't heal it. It keeps it from getting further infected. But the body is healing itself. If God wrought that majesty with my physical body, then don't you think he did it with the spiritual body? So none of us should come in cut and wounded and leave here with the wound exposed. I am preaching to put the bandage over it, but then you connect with a member of the body to provide the healing. From Samuel's demonstration, God is speaking to us. How often? Constantly. Constantly. All right? Not continuously. There are times when he's silent, but even in silence, he's speaking to us. So it's constant, but not continuous. And so when we get to Proverbs 29, a very familiar passage of scripture, verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. Now, the text seems to be, as most verses are in Proverbs, silly. It doesn't seem to work together. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But once again, we call upon a clear understanding of the etymology. Now, this says where there is no vision, and this word in the Hebrew is the word chatzah, chazah, and it means mental sight. He's not talking about seeing it with my natural eye. He's talking about mental sight. He's saying where there is no mental sight, no dream, no revelation, no oracle, people perish. Why? Because dreams, revelations, and oracles give hope. I have a that one day the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a that the state of Mississippi and Alabama, whose governor's lips drip with the words of segregation, interposition, and nullification, that those states will be transformed into an oasis of freedom. I have a dream. So what does that do to the people listening to the dream? They now have hope. Now watch this. They have hope that things can get better. When you have a hope that things can get better, what do you think you will internally do? You'll begin to subconsciously, unconsciously work towards it getting better because you believe it can get better. So go out here and sit and talk with some of these teenagers on the corner. All of them are going to kill you. And ask them one question. Ask them, do you have any hope? Right? Just do that during the course of this week, because we're going to have two parts of this message. And bring it back next week and watch when you talk to them. They're going to say, I don't have any hope. That's why I dress like a bum, I behave like a bum, and I do things that are contrary to what I was taught as a young child. Why? I have no hope. But then go find the person that's going through college, that looks good, that talks well, that does all the proper things for society, and ask them if they have hope. They say, you darn right I have hope. So I am performing for my hope, not for my present. All right, it's like I said, when I went to that museum, on the first levels is the slavery and the segregation and the hate that was shown to us. But all the way up on the top are the NBA superstars. So we've gone from people being beaten, put in chains, to folks who can buy cities that are making $40 million a year. Baby, that's a long elevator ride. But what happened? Hope was somehow birthed in the middle floors, right? Right after the civil rights movement, hope was birthed in our children, And what we have to do is that the baby boomer, those born between 46 and 66, thank God I missed it by about 4 years. Those born between 46 and 66, you had hope, right? Things were opening for you. Doors were opening. Schools were becoming segregated. You were finding yourself with opportunities that you didn't have. We could sit at lunch counters. You could sit at lunch counters, and things were changing for you. You were now able. So you had begun to realize that your hope was becoming real. What you failed to do was pass it on to your kids. What you passed on to your kids was entitlement. They began thinking they were entitled to this. This was their. They didn't know the struggle, so they had no hope. Then they passed on to their children an existentialism, a view that said, look, if God is on my side, I ain't got to do nothing but wake up, and he's just going to make it right. So enter the devil with the word of faith movement that removes responsibility but creates entitlement. I'm entitled to these blessings because God said I was. It used to break my heart when the teacher would tell me, every one of you start with an A. Whether you keep it or not is up to you. I hated those classes because that meant you were going to work hard. I'd rather have the class where they say, all right, everybody start with an F and just get to a C. But the ones that say, everybody's starting with an A, you know it's going to be 37 chapters of reading each week and 150 questions for each quiz. And they're all essay questions. Why? Because when you're starting with an advantage, it is hard work to keep it there. And that's what God did. And I'm going to say something to you that may seem parenthetical. God starts all of us out as winners. Whether you maintain it or not is up to you. God starts all of us out in Deuteronomy 28. Whether you hold on to it or not is up to you. God started all of us out healed. Whether you have the discipline to avoid those foods that destroy your healing, that's up to you. Whether you want to get the stressors out of your life, whether you want to get the failure out of your life, depends on your vision. Not what do you want to be when you grow up, but what does God want me to be?
If you believe God, for a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
10416A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and broadcast television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
CKS Drama Ministry returns with its latest play entitled Home, where what happens at home stays at home. Please make plans to join them now. It's all happening right here in Bethel's main sanctuary on Sunday, December 18th at 7 o'clock p.m. Doors will open at 6:30 and there will be a free will offering. Please come out and join us for this wonderful theatrical presentation. And always remember, there's something good at home.